Let me go ahead, Michael, and just read the folks that are signed into the bridge again real quickly. We have Lynn Goodendorf, Mikey O'Connor, Dave Piscatello, Michael Pelage, Eric Bruner-Williams, and me, Craig Schwartz.
All right. Thanks, Craig. I just wanted to thank everybody for participating in today's sort of rearranged call. As I stated in the email, you know, I appreciate that it is, if you will, the end of the summer for those in the Northern Hemisphere, and things have been quiet, generally been quiet on most ICANN activities. Mikey, I even think in your group things have, tailed down a little. While appreciating that, I think we as a group need to stay focused on some of our original deliverables or timelines that we talked about, which was getting this RFI out by September, so that we'd be able to get some feedback and perhaps provide that to both ICANN and the community in advance of the Cartagena meeting. Welcome. Who just joined?
It's John McElwain.
John, thank you very much. Just doing a quick summary of the email I had sent out to the list last night. So as I said, what I'd like to do here today, our main objective right now is getting this this RFI polished and out so that we can start getting some additional data points so that we can make our final recommendations. For those of you who may or may not who may not have gotten a chance to read it, I've provided some comments on the initial draft that Dave put out. Eric, I just read your comments about it being perhaps a little more complex. I am going to go through the queue and allow everyone to speak. What I'll do is I'll go first, and my high level comment is, I think it was an excellent first draft. I think it was perhaps a little more focused towards an RFP with the intent of sort of selecting vendors and getting specific prices. What my comments at a high level would be that I think we need to make this more an information gathering mode, and that's my high-level comment. There's a couple of specific comments, regarding, contract, where it says all registries. I think there's some reference about having a contract with ICANN or a relationship with ICANN. So I tried to make that language a little more neutral where possible, particularly recognizing that this is designed for both GTLDs as well as CCTLDs. So those are, again, sort of my high-level comments. And now what I'd like to do, if there's no objections from the group, is perhaps to just go through and ask those on the call that have or have, that have read it, the document, to perhaps offer their comments. So, Lynn, you were at the top of the list, so I'd like to start with you. Have you had a chance yet to go through the staff initial draft of the RFI, and do you have any comments that you could share now on the call and perhaps in writing on the list for the benefit of Dave and others that will have pen to paper to sort of revise it?
Sure. Yes, I have had a chance to read it. And first, I would like to add my thanks to Dave for just writing a first draft for us. So I really appreciate that. I agree philosophically that with RFI, the main purpose is not to select a provider, but to gather more information that would help us do a better job on an RFP and help in the overall selection. So I felt like maybe there needed to be one small section added that would basically allow room for any open comments or even questions that a respondent on the RFI might have. And that way we'd have a catch-all for things that we haven't recognized or considered, just to leave that. The other comment I have, which is just a more minor point, is that I would propose that instead of using the word certify or certification, that we use the word validate, and only because certification to me has a different connotation, and it implies certain kinds of liability, whereas validation or verification, I think, is a more precise word for what we're intending to do. But I did see the edits that had been made, I guess, by who sent this out? Mike, I think by you. And Green, were those your edits?
And Green, those are my.
I think mine are the multicolored, and then I think Eric. So you have two. People have two choices. I just tried to. I was in lawyer mode, so I marked up the document. I think Eric actually provided more of an email with line to line items. So, Dave, do you have a preference?
At the moment, I have no internet access because our service provider is underwater. So, I did receive your markup. Michael, I did not receive any email after we checked my firewall log. Somewhere around 7:30 last night.
Okay. Well, as I said,
for them to resurrect our service.
I wish you well, and in South Florida in hurricane season, I am very empathetic to people dealing with Mother Nature. I guess my question, just real quick, Dave, is. If you're sort of going to be compiling comments, would you prefer, is that you, Craig, or you dialed back in?
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Welcome back. So my question to you, Dave, is what would make your job easier for editing? Would you like individually marked up Word documents, or would you prefer an email with sort of a line-by-line comment so that you could, you know, just go back and edit it that way. I did a markup of a Word document. Eric, who just submitted comments that you hopefully will get when your ISP dries out, did more of an email with a line-to-line, you know, page this, line that. Do you have a preference on what would make your job easier?
I don't really care whether it comes in as email or a markup, so long as it's actionable, and people don't sort of ask me to read their minds. So if you know exactly what you want to see in the document and you can take the time to write that down and say, substitute this here, or here's the section that I'd like you to put in, that actually makes my job easier because I don't have to try to find you all, and I know everybody's busy. But if you have specific questions and you ask them an email, I'll probably try to get back to you by email. Anyway, so, you know, just to confirm that I understand what you want. You know, I've done this for years and years, so I'm flexible with regard to how people, you know, how people want to, you know, manage their own time.
All right. Thanks. Thanks. And, again, our job here is just to get you feedback that is actionable and manageable. Okay, so Lynn, with that in mind, if there's any specific sections in which you think you would have, I think you were talking about wording on sort of making a more general catch-all question. I think that was one of your comments. So perhaps if you might be able to take a first crack at that text and.
Sure.
Give that to Dave for consideration. I think that that would be helpful. With regard to, I think, your first point about perhaps making this a little less formal, and I think this is something Eric raised as well. Perhaps we could do that by removing some of the more formalistic language, you know, regarding selecting vendors and prices and things like that. Dave, maybe you and I could work on that offline, maybe one-on-one, and I could try to perhaps help there. Craig, I know you just sent an email to the list that Dave has not received yet because of his ISP problem, but I think Michael Salazar also provided some comments. So, again, I think with his extensive background, I think Michael's from used to be from KPMG. Is that correct, Craig?
Yes, he is. Okay. Yeah, 20 plus years at KPMG.
Yeah, so I think he definitely has a lot of RFI and RFP experience that we might be able to tap. I've not read his comments. I will do so after the call, and we'll try to incorporate that into the next draft. So Lynn, do you have any more comments, or is that it right now?
Yeah, just the last comment that I would make is I read the edits that the two sets of edits. One, I think Michael Salazar, the other one, I think was yours.
Yeah.
I did like all of those edits. I thought they improved the document. I felt like on Michael Salazar's set, particularly, let me see, it's in Section 3, Assumptions and Criteria. He added some very good bullet points there that I think addresses kind of what I had observed, is we need to create some openness so that instead of just responding to what we want, there's some latitude for them to share with us what they know or what they feel needs to be included in an RFP. But other than that, I would say that the questions about pricing structure should be helpful to us, and the key word to emphasize would be structure rather than actual pricing. But again, I was happy with those edits. So I'll take an action item to write a little section in that will be like a little catch-all area, and I'll submit that. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Mikey, Mr. O'Connor, you are next up. Comments, suggestions?
Thanks, Michael. This is Mikey. I kind of want to chime in behind everybody else and say, first, thanks to Dave. It's always tough to cut the first path through the wilderness, so it's greatly appreciated. But I also agree with everybody else that this one's a bit vendor selection oriented, and I think what we really want is reactions from qualified vendors as to whether our approach is really a good idea. And so I'm also with Lynn in, and I think I would amplify it and say that it's not a catch-all section. It's a section that precedes Section 3 that basically says, well, before you get to Section 3 and tell us how you're going to do this, take a look at our overall approach and see what your reaction is as to whether or not we're really going to accomplish our goals with this. Because, you know, this is, I think this is the difference between an RFI and an RFP. Usually an RFI is going out to find out about vendors, but in a less formal way, whereas in this particular case, I think that the RFI is really aimed at gathering information about our approach first, and then if all the vendors come back and say, yeah, that's kind of the way we do it, then we'd go back to them and say, okay, if you think this is the right approach too, then answer the questions in Section 3. But what I would be interested in is the vendors who come back and say, I'm not so sure this is going to do what you think you want to do. And here's what we would suggest you do instead as sort of the focus of this iteration. So that's my comment.
All right. again, thanks. So just to follow up on Dave's recommendations, I appreciate the high level there, Mikey. And again, I'm going to try to work with Dave on that. Sort of off list. Did you have any, in reviewing documents, did you have any specific markups or recommendations, or was it just really those high-level points?
No, it's really just the high-level thing. I mean, my concern, as you know, all of you have listened to me rant all along, is that I'm not sure that we're really necessarily putting together a gizmo that will actually accomplish what we think we want to do. And I think that it would be helpful to ask that same question of all these smart people that we're going to send this RFI to.
All right. I put it this way. I appreciate that. Dave, you were next, but you're sort of in listening mode. I mean, do you have any initial comments, or would you just really like for me to just go through and get the rest of the group's feedback?
I actually have one comment to sort of confirm a general sentiment that I've heard before. It sounds to me, you know, like, and I've read through the comments that you and Mike Salazar have shared and Lynn amplified on, and I find them all, you know, very useful. There's nothing that I have any issue with. It seems to me, however, that Section 4 that has requirements and talks about the RFI response format is the focus of a lot of people's discomfort about it being too formal and too much like an RFP. And is that section worth keeping? Because I just don't know. Yeah, I didn't see any comments other than this seems too formal.
This is Mikey. I'd like to chime in on that.
Go ahead, Mikey.
Dave, I think you're on the right track. You know, when we get these back, I think it's really useful to have them in a consistent format just to make them easier to compare, so that we don't get wildly different formats of documents. But I think when you get to, I think the one that probably triggers this is 4.1, where, you know, we're talking about services to be provided, and I think that's where a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, not necessarily asking for service descriptions yet, more asking for information. And, you know, so when you... I'm not totally there on the notion of discarding Section 4 altogether. I think maybe just lighten it up a bit.
So the other, Mikey, this is Dave again. The other thought I had was whether it would be appropriate to ask people who are responding to the RFI whether the RFP format that we prescribe currently is the right format to answer this kind of, or to respond to this kind of assessment.
This is the standard ICANN RFP format?
No, this is actually something that that Andy Welsh had given me. Andy gave me 3 or 4 sample RFI RFPs to sort of, you know, kind of pull together, and sew together an RFI with the intent of actually moving towards an RFP. So I probably melded them in a fashion that he didn't anticipate. Yeah, I worked for a 1-2 man consulting company for 15 years. We didn't do RFIs. People came to us with a specific problem and we solve it. So this is foreign to me in the sense of actually having to go out and ask people questions. When you're a two-person company, you can't afford to do that because you're not making money doing it. So we really didn't focus on this. So this is a learning experience for me.
Yeah, I'm looking at sections 4 and 5. And especially when we get into things like in Section 5 where we're talking about awarding of bids and evaluation criteria and pricing and contracts and all that kind of stuff, all of that is more in an RFP bid response kind of context for me. And so, you know, Section 5, I'd be a lot more comfortable losing. I think Section 4, where you're sort of saying, dear respondents, just to save us the hassle of aligning all your responses, please put them in the same sequence, follow the same outline, so we can put them side by side more easily. But I would lose all of the stuff, like in the outline in Section 4, towards the end, you know, you've got invoicing, description services, et cetera. I think that that's where people are saying that's more an RFP kind of thing. And that in this first round, the information needs to be, it doesn't need to be that specific. And in fact, if I were a vendor, I would probably be a lot less comfortable putting anybody on the project of responding to this, because I did work for one of those, two of those big firms. And, you know, if I got this document, I would probably say, yeah, I think we'll pass on this one. It's going to take a lot of work to fill it out, and it's too vague to be able to tell how we win. And I'm not sure whether this is really something that is actually going to award a contract anyway. So I think by amplifying the information request and de-amplifying the proposal part, you're on the right track.
Okay. I mean, I think that's good guidance, and everything that's been said this morning has been very helpful. And I think I understand, you know, how to go about fixing Section 4. Is everyone else comfortable with dropping Section 5? When I read it now in the context of what, you know, I read in the two Mike's comments and what I've heard this morning, it sounds like it's very much an overkill and the kind of thing that would chase people away.
I think that's what I'm hearing, Dave. And what I could do is, for your benefit, there have been a couple of organizations that have recently used RFIs by companies looking to evaluate moving forward with a new GTLD. The League of Arab States have done it. New York City has done it. Actually, the UPU, after getting their right before their contract award, they actually issued an RFI. And it kind of goes to some of these more open-ended, formatted-type questions. So what I could do is, again, I could probably, again, you and I will work offline to, I'll pick up the pen and try to help on this second draft so that it's not totally in your lap. But I'll share some of those documents with you, Dave, to perhaps get a feel for what is going on in the industry right now in more of an informational gathering mode that this I think we intend this RFI to be. So, again, Mikey, thanks. So, Dave, is any additional comments? And, again, I'll let you speak at the end of the list after you hear from the other members.
No, I'm comfortable right now. That's, you know, everything, I think, is going in a good direction. So.
Excellent. I have already spoken. Eric, I know you had sent your comment to the list. I don't believe Dave had received them, so if perhaps for the benefit of those, you could perhaps go through them at a high level.
Thank you, Michael. Can you hear me, David?
Yeah.
Okay. So, as guidance, every word has to be translated in Arabic, Chinese, Russian, French, and Spanish. So be very sparing.
Eric, could you get perhaps closer to the phone? I think myself and others are having a little difficulty hearing you.
Thank you, Michael. My first comment is that every word must be translated into several languages, because we're not just interested in a response from the Beltway bandits of the audit industry, somewhere located, I don't know, inside some Beltway somewhere. So be very sparing with your language. Use only the words which are strictly necessary to make the particular point you're trying to make. So with that, my first comment in the mail, which you haven't received because your ISP is that the text is overblown. There are a few operative sentences on pages 2 through 5, but most of the text is either security theater or overreaching. Believe me, I appreciate how difficult it is to write a first draft. We're not inviting vendors to comment on the completeness or suitability of the elements, or to identify the best practices, because we're not shopping for any recipes. I'm sure there are people who'd like to supply us with a completely new recipe, but we're trying to get this particular thing implemented independent of its value. Of course, I haven't changed my position on the value of this, which might be a different statement, but is not worth it in the first place. But that's not representative. Whether it works or not, this is what we're trying to get implemented. So I'd like to see first 1 through 4, pages 2 through 5, rewritten at most one page of clear expository text with mostly declarative sentences. I'd like to see section 2 of part 4 struck and section 4 of part 4 struck. And I'd like to have the respondents not constrained to required format, but we can make suggestions as to the format, because I'm more interested in the responses than I am in the ability to compare them. Comparison assumes we're going to have two or more responses, and at this point I'm concerned we're going to have five. Part 4 also refers to the license locations where work is to be performed. This is not relevant to us. We don't know where the vendors are going to be. That is, the registry applicants. We don't know where they're going to be. But we can assume that they're not all going to be in the United States. Part 4, Section 5 contains a reference to copyright and patent infringement. This is not relevant to us either, although the other elements in that first passage may be relevant. Part 5, which we're going to, I think it should be struck completely, but I have a few comments about Part 5. There is an email and I'm used to take up all the information to be struck. Those are the line by line, if you will. Now I'm going to add one more high-level suggestion. I didn't realize that you spent most of your life in a two-person consulting business. Going to the formalism of RFI, what I suggest is that rather than flailing and trying to invent one, that you find a six-language RFI, the simplest possible, and use it. I don't care who it is. It could be IBM, like Kendall and Templin at this point. But the formal elements of the RFI are not something that should be invented. They should be available already in every language that's relevant. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for those comments, Eric. And Dave, when your ISP does dry out, I think you will find most of Eric's comments that were detailed in his email. Okay. So then we have Craig. Craig, are you on or off? I know you've struggled with your. Okay, you're on. Excellent. What I'd like to the last person here is John. You're up at bat. Any comments there? Suggestions?
I learned a new word, concatenate or something to that effect. I agree with what Eric was saying. It probably needs to be pared down a bit. with respect to I think a lot of Section 5 can come out. Again, I'm just echoing some other comments there. Now, the big issue that I had is, and then people on the call or Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought one of the main purposes that we were seeking here was to ask essentially three questions. How would these potential operators implement the lengthy criteria that we'd come up with? To provide us some comments on certain criteria that they felt could be done better or were not even applicable to be measured, and how much would you charge? Because I think there was some sentiment that some of the undertakings would be so expensive or so intrusive that it just wouldn't be possible. And I thought that was really the heart of what we were getting at. Now, I know we kind of asked those questions, maybe not so directly in Section 3, but I really think that needs to be teased out as an important point that we're seeking to get information on.
All right. And John, thanks for being a lawyer and focusing in on those three things, because I think you did really sort of hit the nail on the head. And when I was doing my edits last night, later in the evening, I didn't pick up on it. But, you know, how would they implement it based upon their experience? We want feedback on our criteria. Did we get it right, or did we miss something? And then I think what I was talking about as well is a pricing range. We're not looking for detail, but I remember talking with Andy on, like, some of the audits that he had done at KPMG, and he's like, you know, this is $100,000. This is an initial $100,000, you know, a six-digit, you know, initial assessment with annual follow-ups at the sort of, you know, $50,000 to $75,000 range. I think those are some of the price ranges that we need, because, again, Eric, and I hope you would agree with me on this, that we need to be conscious of that price range, considering that some of these applications will be coming from developing regions of the world, and just because they're coming from the developing regions does not mean that they should not have the ability to consider themselves a high security zone. So I think that's something that that we definitely need to account for in our discussions. So again, John, thanks for hitting those three points, really clarifying them. Basically, right now, I think everyone has had a chance to speak. I don't know if there's any much more to say. I think actually myself and Dave, we have some work cut out for us to perhaps take a second crack in draft two and get that out to the list. I guess my question is, how would we sort of like to proceed? Craig, I know you're kind of the overall, if you will, schedule keeper as far as timelines. You know, Dave, what's your availability? Would you be able to give some cycles between now and next week so that we perhaps get a second draft out? I'm just pulling up the calendar here. Give me a second, everyone.
I think it would be the
September 1st. If you were to do it, our next call could be September 1st. Is that a... You know, would the group like to have that? I mean, for those in the U.S., that would be right before the Labor Day weekend. My gut is, since we are going to be doing some redrafting or restructuring, if Dave and I can get the document out, I think that call next Wednesday would be helpful to move it forward, because if we wait till after the Labor Day weekend, things begin to slip rather quickly. And I would like to see if we could get this RFI out, towards the end of September. I think that was our original target date. And again, it would be something nice to the board when they go and have their retreat to see that there are aspects of the community that are timely moving forward with taking care of the remainder of the work. Again, that's my personal opinion. So perhaps what I could do is just real quick, Lynn, do you have any problem if we were to have a call? Well, first let me start with Dave. Dave, do you think we might find the time to get something done by a redraft done in for discussion and consideration next week?
Yeah, Michael, actually I was going to ask the same thing because, you know, once Labor Day passes, I'm traveling extensively and I have, you know, I have very little time from September 9th until essentially November, where I will be in the office. So, what I'd like to try to do is get the RFI to a point where the remaining work would be rather editorial in nature and not onerous, because I'm going to have to, you know, hand the task over to, you know, to someone else for, you know, once we hit somewhere in the middle of September 15th.
All right, well, then I guess the answer to that question is yes, you and I will be finding the bandwidth to get a draft out before next Wednesday. I guess then the question then for the group is, if Dave and I achieve that task, is there any objections to having a call next Wednesday review this? Again, I think we'll move back to our normal time, which was 12:30 Eastern daylight time, if that's correct.
That's correct.
Craig, that's become our new default time, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, again, real quick for those that are on the call, Lynn, would you have any problem with, having a call next Wednesday with a document that hopefully Dave and I would get out no later than, say, Monday midday, allowing you at least Tuesday to review it and provide some feedback? Any problem with that proposed timeline?
No, that works for me.
Excellent. Mikey, any problem with you?
Nope, good for me.
Excellent. I have no problems. Eric, any problems with you?
All right, take the call time again, please.
What is that? The proposed timeline, what we're looking at is Dave and I would try to make this look more RFI-ish based upon the feedback from the group at a high level, as well as some of the detailed comments that have been provided.
Michael, I thought you were trying to set a call time.
Well, no, the call time is 12:30. That's the default.
Okay.
So I was just saying, would you have any problem if we were to get a document out, say, Monday, to be able to participate in the call next Wednesday at 12:30?
Fine.
Excellent. Sorry that I didn't hear you. John, any problem with that proposed next steps?
No, that's great.
Excellent. So I guess at this point in time, as usual, I'll ask if anybody has any closing comments, but I think we've achieved everything that we've needed to achieve on today's call. And, perhaps we could wrap up before Craig gets dropped again from the call. So, again, just going through. Any final comments, Lynn?
No. Thanks,
Mikey.
I think it's been a good call.
Okay, thank you, Lynn. Mikey, any closing comments?
Nope, we're on the right track. Thanks.
Dave, any feedback, any last-second questions before we end?
Actually, the only thing I'd ask is if you could stay on the line so that you and I can try to arrange some time, since I'm still not connected. So I just want to make certain that we figure out how to schedule our calendars together.
I will stay on the line to arrange that. Eric?
Nope.
Craig?
Not for me.
Okay. And John?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay. Craig, is there any way for the so I'm going to wrap it up. Is there any way to end the call between to end the recording right now. Or you know what, Dave, do you have a number, or do you want to just call me, or I could call?